I'm Stephanie Bollinger, and you're watching A Little Bit of Steph, Episode 2, Reclaiming Faith. Thank you for joining me again on A Little Bit of Steph. Last time we talked about my life before, about the struggles that I went through, my suicide attempt, and me starting to come back around because I'm a little bit of a miracle. This time I want to talk to you about when I did come around and start realizing that I was here for a reason. A little bit about reclaiming my faith in myself, reclaiming faith in God, as well as in other people. I guess after my suicide attempt, the depression was so strong, and it was more of that anger, I guess, than sadness, just for the simple fact that I didn't want to be here, but yet I woke up here and woke up still alive and blind. Those were really hard for me to grasp at first. So I basically just jumped back into life shortly after my attempt, thanks to a lot of great people in my life, thanks to my bosses, my church family, some videos and DVDs from Jennifer Rothschild, as well as some good worship music from K-Love and Wow 90.9. So as I'm starting to live in this new life and get up and start functioning and get back to work about 2 months later, and I have a 16-hour craniotomy and all that going on, I finally started getting back into the groove of things. I don't really quite know why I'm here at that point, but I just know that I'm here for a reason. So I'm excited to share a little bit about this with you. I guess I'll start with me. Waking up and realizing that I was here for a reason was part of me reclaiming me. That's kind of where it all really started. I just started living my life, going to get training to learn how to live as a blind person, and being there, being mentored by Sally, my friend from Independence for the Blind, who passed away this past year. She helped me really get out there and start feeling confident and strong, bold, honestly, by getting out and sharing my story with other people in different ways, whether it be from organizations that help me or sharing my full testimony. Between that and my church family and my work family, I just feel like I was surrounded by so much love, and my family too, you know, just all my friends, just everybody. And I think sometimes when we go through a hard time, we don't realize that we do have other people there with us. And sometimes when we think that it would be easier without us, or that maybe we would make other people's lives better with us not being here, that's just such a lie that we allow ourselves to soak in and believe. And it's just sad, because I realize now that I was meant to be here. I was, and so are you. So I hope this kind of helps you realize that once you get out there and start putting in that effort for you, because you do deserve it, life can be beautiful, life can be great, and it won't be easy. I can assure you that I'm not here to promise you that it's going to be some magical fairy tale ride and it's going to be perfect and easy, because my journey has been far from perfect and easy, but it's worth it. It really is. It's worth it. I guess getting out and like really volunteering, sharing my story, and realizing that I was helping people is kind of where getting that feel of my self-worth, valuing myself on a real true level, that helped me to do that. Through my volunteer work, through speaking, I was offered an opportunity to learn how to dance. So I got out there in the dance studio laughing about it and thought, wow, I'll never be able to do this, but I'm gonna try it because the opportunity was handed to me. Being a little bit of an adrenaline junkie that I am, I thought, why not? Just go try it. The worst that can happen is I'll totally stink at it and I just won't go back again. But fortunately for me, I had a really great dance partner that started off teaching me to dance. So I ended up falling in love with dance. I have a true passion for it, and it's part of my regular life now. And so I have that. I have my own organization that I will tell you about later. I have God. And I want to share about that with you today because, and by no means am I trying to push my beliefs on anyone, but this is part of my journey and I want to share it with you because I hope that it will help you in your healing. So before I became blind from my suicide attempt, I have been taught about God and I was curious. At times I thought I believed, but and quite honestly, something that I kept really secret and that was really only between me and God was that I was not really sure if he existed. I just had a hard time believing that he was there for me after everything I had been through. But I realize now that I was never alone. Had I been alone, there's no way that I would have been able to make it through a lot of the things that I went through as a child. So that alone tells me there's a purpose, there's a higher power. And my church family really stayed on me. I didn't want to go out and about. I didn't want to do things at first. I just wanted to lay in my bed. And even though I didn't want to spend time with them, they would still drop off casseroles and stuff to me and hope that I would eat and make sure I knew that they loved me. So when I did finally start getting up and about, my church family, of course, was right there. To this day, I am still friends with them. And I thank you all and I love you all. You know who you are. But we had this thing called Friday Night Freedom. And it was at our pastor's house. Occasionally, we would maybe do it other places, but mostly at the pastor's home. And we would just get together and we would eat and hang out and worship and just share a little bit about God's word with one another. And it was one of those Friday nights that I was at Friday Night Freedom during worship, had my eyes closed and just had my hands up in the air, just worshiping. It was often hard for me to do that, but this particular time, I didn't feel weird or strange. At first I did a little bit, but then as I was sitting there with my eyes closed, I just let go of everything that everyone else, you know, was doing and just sat there talking to God myself. I'll share a little bit about what I talked to him about, but most of it's pretty private. So I just kind of was asking him if you really are here, if you really are here with me, show me that I'm not alone. And boy, did he. excuse me one moment. So I'm worshiping and praying and still just trying to know that I'm not in this alone. Because even though I have people with me, I need more at this point of my life. And so something really beautiful and cool happened to me. All of a sudden, I wasn't in that room anymore with everyone from church. Suddenly, I was standing in my front yard, staring at myself on my front porch. And I could see the whole scene. But the great thing about that scene was that I wasn't alone. I was laying on the porch, my head in the lap of Jesus as he rubbed my temple where I shot myself. And the dry blood was everywhere, but it was dry because he was just sitting there rubbing it. And at that moment, I realized I was never alone. I was never, ever alone. And he never intended for me to be alone again. He never intended for me to feel alone. I never understood before that why or how I survived my suicide attempt. It was really just, I knew that there was something bigger than me that kept me here. I knew there was a reason, but to fully grasp it after feeling that and seeing it, it wasn't like it was just in my head. I was there. I got to witness myself laying there waiting for help to come. I shouldn't be here, but I am. I know that God is real. I know that in my heart. And I know that he had a purpose long before I thought I was supposed to be gone. That is the moment that I reclaimed my faith in God, that I knew that my God was real, that I knew as long as I let him, he's going to guide me through my life, and he's going to walk beside me and sometimes carry me through, because I've needed that too. I didn't fully grasp it all, other than I just knew without a doubt. So there was a lot more of my journey still to come, but that part right there was just an wow, magnificent, amazing, all-powerful moment that I needed, and he gave it to me. I don't think I would be here still today had I not seen that with my own eyes, with my own heart, and my eyes didn't work. I felt it. I felt the wind, the breeze blowing on my skin and my hair. I felt the tears rolling down my face as I sat there and watched this. I felt the chill bumps on my body. At the same time, the love that he was giving me by rubbing my temple, I felt it wrapped around me. Wrapped around me in a way that I could never explain with words. And so that's really where it all started for me. That's where my second chance hit the ground running. As I was reclaiming my faith in myself and in God, I was getting back in the groove of working, getting in the groove of learning how to live, meeting new friends, rebuilding old friendships in a new way. Lots happened. Reclaiming my faith has its ups and its downs. So I was doing great with work. Getting back in the groove of things at the salon was interesting and exciting. It was a big help for me at a time in my life where I thought that I would never be able to live the same again. It was a big part of what helped me to realize, girlfriend, you're never about to live the same again, because your life is about to be so much more than it ever was before. I got in therapy, and granted, my therapy was never what I needed it to be for a long time, but it was enough to get me through. And so I never will discredit the therapy that I had. I just needed to find the right therapist for me, the right therapy for me. But what little bits I did have after my suicide attempt, it all did help in a way. So I had my therapy. I was on medication for the first 6 months, which really did help to balance me. Unfortunately, I hit a point where I thought that I was better. So I weaned myself off my medication, which I will definitely share with you later. I want to skip forward and tell you that I am back on medication and I am doing great. It helps tremendously along with other, you know, things that I do to help with my healing process. So yeah, the medicine, that was a good help for me then, as well. My support system, building that, it's kind of hit rock bottom, started over a little bit here and there. Maybe not started completely over, because I do still have people in my support system that have been here from the beginning that I could call today or tomorrow or 10 years from now, and they will be there and help me because that's who they are. Independence for the Blind, teaching me how to live as a visually impaired individual. That was huge for me because, as I stated in my last episode, I was starting over fresh as a single woman. I had already been in a separation process before, so technically was already single, but this was really just my life starting over, going into finalizing my divorce, really finding me as me by myself. I went straight out of my teenage years into a serious relationship, which ended in which resulted in a marriage, which ended in a divorce, and resulted in me newly me all over, learning to live. So that was part of it. Gosh, so many things. So I started going to dance, and I started learning to dance, loving dance. The first song I danced to was Need You Now by Plum. The song, one of the main songs, but the song that helped me so much and still helps me today, just reminds me that I really am not alone, like that God has a purpose for me, and I can cry out to Him when I'm in need, and I can talk to Him when I'm not in need. He's always with me. So that song just sticks with me. Recently, I went through something that my original dance partner, hey Vic, he reached out and reminded me to go listen to the song because it helps, and it helps him to this day too after getting to meet me and witnessing how it's helped me grow. So just all kinds of different things in life. I remarried again after I became blind for a second time. And probably just a couple years after I was blind, I met a guy and on social media, and I instantly fell in love with his children. Over time, I did learn to love him. He wasn't who I thought he was. I really did love him. I gave up a large portion of my income to marry him because I felt like in my heart it was the right thing to do rather than just to live with someone and be with him, which now I have different outlooks on that. But so we got married. He was really big in a church before we got married. A wonderful father, just so good to me. Great, perfect. And then we got married. 2 weeks after we got married, the major control began. About a month after our marriage, more abuse started happening, physical, verbal, mental, emotional, every way that you could think of, sexual, every way that you can imagine. I was abused by my second husband. I left him about 6 months after we were married because of the abuse. I was gone about a week, and then I came back out of fear of surviving without him, out of fear of him. I was so terrified of him. And then about a year after that, after I went back to him, there came a point where, and I'll say before this, he had never harmed me in front of his children before. So at this point, there was a night where it was probably, and this is saying a lot, one of the scariest and most horrific nights of my entire life. His children were in the home. He cut the phone charger cord to my cell phone so that I couldn't call for help. I guess he was hoping my phone would go dead. Fortunately, I had it charged up and I had it hidden from him so that he couldn't find it. At one point, I physically had to go lay in the floor in his daughter's bedroom to try to make him leave me alone, because I thought maybe if I was around the kids, he wouldn't hurt me, but he didn't care. And so then I left that room, and his oldest son went and got his two younger children out of their beds and put them in the bed with him, and he covered their ears so that they would hear as least as possible. And I just went through a night of hell on earth. Eventually, he stopped and he went and passed out. There, I got dressed. I put on a long sleeve shirt. I put on long pants and tennis shoes. This was in July in Florida. So by no means should I have been wearing long sleeves, but that's what I did. And I put on a smile. I cooked breakfast for the whole family. I made lunches for the whole family. I woke the kids up. I got the two younger ones ready for their summer camp, and I woke my husband at the time up, got him ready for work. Thankfully, he had a job that he had to do, or he would have lost contract on it. So he had to go to work. So I just smiled and got everybody out the door, kissed him goodbye, sent everybody away, and I then left and I did my normal daily activity, walking to the gym, which was at our local community center. I went to yoga a few days a week, and then afterwards would go to the gym and work out. On the days that I didn't have yoga, I would still go to the gym and work out. So I went to the gym. I went in first to the office and I told the gentleman in the office what was going on, for them to be prepared. I was concerned for their safety because my husband at that time had threatened the lives of some of the gentlemen that worked for the city, because that's the people that were there at our community center. It was like city employees, so he had made death threats, physical threats against people that work at the city, as well as my yoga instructor and one of the gentlemen in the gym, who was a physical trainer, who would sometimes give me tips since I was blind and would help me with the equipment. So I just wanted to warn them. I went in the gym, and luckily my friend who was a personal trainer was in there. So I gave them a brief warning about what was going on, and I started my workout. And as I started my workout, I got on the phone and I called my cousin. I told her what was happening, and she told me to pack my stuff, that she was on her way. She lived 2 hours away at that time. She is, to this day, someone I told you in the last video that I feel like I owe it all to you. She's someone that you'll hear a lot about over time. I'm sorry, I'm just really emotional because I'm so grateful for her. So then, after I hung up that call, my husband at the time showed up at the gym. He forced me to leave. And I thought for sure that I was going home to die that time. I really thought I was gonna die. So I went home with him. He told me I had to stay at the house, that I wasn't allowed to go anywhere, and that he had to go to work or he would lose that job. He told me he wouldn't be able to come back until lunchtime, which immediately told me that I had some time to still save myself. When I say that I knew that I would die, he would hold loaded guns to my head and force me to do things I didn't want to do. He was physically violent and violent in so many ways. He had never harmed me in front of his children until the night before this. So I knew that if I didn't get out, I wouldn't live. It was gonna be me or him to die. That's how I felt at that moment. And so after he left, I told his son that I had to go. And his son, crying, gave me a hug, told me that he understood. And he helped me pack some bags. My sister showed up after I called my mom and told my mom, the woman I call my mom, my aunt, I called her and told her what was going on, as my stepson at the time was helping me throw some clothing in a bag. She told me that she would call my sister, that her daughter, that she'd be on the way. I can't remember exactly because it rushed so quick. I believe I might have talked to my sister. But I just kind of remember her pulling up within minutes. She lived about 15 minutes from me, and I just remember her pulling up within minutes, helping me load up and just hauling tail out of my yard and my neighborhood. As soon as I was on the road and felt like I was safe from there, I then called my husband at the time's niece, who was his age, and told her that my stepson wanted to come play with her son, and asked if she could go pick him up, and told her I was out running errands. So she came by and she picked him up. As soon as I got off the phone with her, I called his mother and I told his mother what was going on. She then told me that she herself had my husband at the time, Baker, acted many years before because of his same tendencies with her. She told me that she would reach out to him and she would go pick up her child. She had full custody of him. My husband at the time had part custody, like 50-50 custody with his two youngest children. And I was in a position where I wasn't allowed to reach out to her directly at that time. So I couldn't tell her what was going on. I could only tell the oldest child's mother. And so from there, I went to my sister's house. She parked in the backyard to hide her vehicle so that he wouldn't think I was home if he came looking for me. I hid there until my cousin showed up to get me. And then from there, I went and hid at my cousin's, 2 hours away from my town. I bounced around for 3 months, homeless, back and forth between her couch and different friends' couches because I still had lessons in another town that I was taking to learn how to live blind so that I could get a job and things like that, because at this point my husband had made me quit my job at the salon. I wasn't really allowed to do much unless he was in control of it. So I just lived like that, still trying to do my normal everyday activities, trying to hide from him because he was stalking me, having people follow me. He was following me. He was sending threats to me and to other people. I called an officer over to a friend's home. He said I had a no contact order. I had signed all kinds of paperwork and stuff that day, but then I later found out that I don't have a no contact order. And when I tried to get a no contact order, I had so many threats against me that I failed to show up to the court date because I was scared of him. So anyways, I got out of that situation and moved on. I am now in another marriage, and a really healthy marriage. But before meeting my now husband, even before meeting my frog husband, I went through a lot of other frogs back and forth, just dating people because I was still in an insecure state. But when I got to the point that I met my now husband, I was done. I was done feeling like I needed someone to love me. What I needed was for me to love me, and only me to love me. So I was there. I did not want a boyfriend. I did not want anything more than just me and having fun. Granted, at that time, I wasn't necessarily having a lot of healthy fun, because I was dabbling in partying a lot. So I was still confused. I was still lost. I was still trying to find my way. But over time, I was learning to love myself, and I was learning that I did not need a man to take care of me, to love me, for me to be special, for me to be worth being here. It just so happened that my now husband and I, we met again through social media, but this time, thankfully, it was because of mutual friends and hearing good things about him. And so we didn't really talk to each other. I was just kind of like watching him to see like what kind of person is he, things like that. And I wasn't watching him every day, just kind of like here and there. And I was dating around, going on dates, seeing people, having fun with friends, things like that. To be honest, I was pretty poor at the time because I had given up my alimony to marry my second husband. So I was living on less than $1,000 a month. I had my own apartment and everything, but boy, I was struggling. I was surviving on like a case of ramen noodles for my lunch foods, a box of oatmeal for my breakfast foods. I had a box each month. Basically, I would buy a box of oatmeal and a box of grits, and one of the other would be my breakfast each day. And then packs of ramen noodles would be my lunch every day. And then I would buy frozen pizzas, Red Baron pizzas from Target, because Target always had those on sale. So I could buy more than one at a time. And I would just fill up my freezer with those pizzas, and I would cook those pizzas and eat on one pizza like for two nights in a row. And that's kind of very bad, very bad, but I had no other choice, and I didn't want to have to live. I wanted to be independent, basically. I wanted to be able to care for myself, so that's what I did. And I had to ask for help sometimes with rides and things like that, but I paid my own bills and I made my own way. However, sometimes grits, oatmeal, ramen, and pizza gets old, so I would go on dates with people just to get a free meal. Not so nice, sorry guys. But I was hungry, so I went on dates to get free meals. And so anyways, I met this guy, Nate, and he told me happy birthday on my birthday. I can't even remember now. It was over 4 years ago, and I'm 33, so like my 29th birthday, something, I think. Anyways, he told me happy birthday, And I commented back and said, happy birthday to you. You know, it's cliche little stuff. And so then he sent me a message and said, yeah, so I know I told you happy birthday, but I just wanted to tell you again. At that point, we talked all night long. He asked me on a date. I agreed to go on a date with him. But then I was like, you do know I'm blind, right? He said, nope. I did not know that you were blind, but I don't care. That's okay. My mom taught me to give everyone a chance, no matter what. So we went on our date, first date, 3 days later. The very next day, I called and canceled every single date that I had scheduled. Yes, I had dates scheduled for food. so I canceled every single one of those dates, and I thought, this guy's worth eating pizza every night for dinner, so I'm going to give him a try. We literally seen each other or talked to each other every single day after that. Several times during our courtship, he asked me to be his girlfriend, but I did not. I just kept saying no, that I didn't want a title because I had such a complex with having titles due to the title of my last marriage being a controlship rather than a partnership. So I just kept saying no and kept saying no. And then I fell in love with him. Even though I didn't want to, I did. And you just kind of can't help but to love him. My whole family, all of my friends, everybody feels that way about him. And he's the first person to ever enter my life that everybody around me just loves and respects. So that just speaks volumes. I think in a way, like, that excited me, but also kind of pushed me away from him, like, or wanted me to push away a little bit. But I didn't. I stuck around, and eventually, about a few months into our relationship, I don't even know how many months, we were just kind of talking on his front porch one day, and I said something about, you know, I think I'm ready for us to be just us. You know, I mean, it's only been just us, but I'm ready for it to be us now. And so from there, we officially became girlfriend and boyfriend, and we had to look back on Messenger to figure out when our first date was, because we had not been dating anyone else since our first date. So we just went with our first anniversary, which, by the way, to this day, we still forget every year. And so then we just kept dating and dating, and at some point or another, marriage started becoming topic, and then I started getting wonky, and I started pushing him away. We started fighting, which wasn't normal for us. Not really fighting, but like arguing, disagreeing. I realized I was pushing him away, and thankfully at that point in my recovery, I was aware, alert enough of myself to know that I was changing, to know that I was causing conflict and issues between us. So I reached out to someone at that time who I was very close to in my life, who has since hurt me greatly, and I'll share that with you a little bit down the road. But I've reached out and told this person what I was going through, that I had an opportunity to receive free counseling through vocational rehabilitation because I was in college at the time, full time. And so I didn't know what I would do with the counseling. So I decided to use it to help me with my issues with marriage and commitment, and went to therapy about it because I realized if I don't get help, I'm gonna lose the greatest man that has ever walked into my life. And so I did, and for 6 months I went to therapy once a week, and then my husband and I got married. We've been married now for about 2.5 years, and we've been through some things in our marriage, but I can proudly and humbly and happily say that those things in our marriage have only strengthened us and helped us to grow, helped us to learn to fight for what is real, what is important, what we value in life, not just one another, but ourselves as individuals. So that was just beautiful to me. I have that in this life, but what I have more than anything is I have me. I trust me. I have faith in me. I have God. I trust God. I have faith in God. And I trust my people that I choose to surround myself with. I will tell you the one main advice I will give to you when it comes to reclaiming faith in yourself and in others is don't take anyone's crap. I know that's awful blunt. I know it's hard and sometimes easier said than done to cut people out of your life that are toxic to you or unhealthy to you, but my advice is do it. I have been hurt so many times by people that I've allowed to come back and hurt me over and over and over again. I have hurt myself by allowing this to happen. But I'm at a point now in life, 8.5 years into my recovery, at 33 years old, where nobody comes first. I can't be any good to anyone else unless I come first, unless I'm taking care of myself first. In doing that, part of that is toxicity is wiped out. If you're not an uplifting, positive person, if I feel like when I talk to you, it's only about negativity and you can never see that the glass is really half full, I will try to help you and I will try to influence you and be a positive light to you. But if I feel like I'm being torn down and sinking, I have no problem at all with saying, I'm sorry, I love you. And I'll continue praying for you, but I'm not who you need. You need to go find the help that you need, but I can't spend time talking with you or hanging out with you because your behavior is affecting me in a negative way, and I can't allow that because it's not safe for me. So I can tell you that it may hurt other people. It may hurt you to have to back away. But you're never going to be able to fully recover if you can't get to a point where you have boundaries and you can realize healthy friends. I'm not sure if I've quoted this in my other episode or not, but I will tell you that a quote that I live by is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You look at my friends, and I have a lot of different groups of friends because I just am such a people person, and I have a lot of different groups in the community that I am affiliated with. But no matter what, you look at my friends and you see positive, uplifting people. You see fighters who have been through the ringer, who have come out on top because they refuse to let it take them down. That's me. That's who I am. I'm a fighter. And I will fight until it's not my time to be here. And I will never choose that it's not my time because only God can choose that for me. So while I'm here, I'm going to keep reclaiming me every day. I'm going to keep reclaiming my God every day, my friends, my family. And I'm going to keep reclaiming my fight because it takes a fight to stay on top. It takes a fight to stay balanced, to stay healthy, and to stay whole. So I am excited to share everything about this with you, and I thank you for listening to my story about me reclaiming my faith, and I hope that you will take the steps to reclaim your faith, and if you already are, then you go. I'm really proud of you. So thanks for joining me today. Look forward to visiting with you soon. Bye.